We're reading today from Paul's letter to the Corinthians again, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And the whole chapter is about resurrection, about new life. And it's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. So Paul writes to the people of Corinth and to us. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. Short sentences from the Apostle Paul. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. May God bless our hearing and receiving of this holy scripture. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. Did anybody hear anything that particularly struck you this morning? The good news. Yes, Tammy. For it was not I, but the grace of God. I hope we all have thoughts along that line at times. The grace of God working within us. This is the good news. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. A parable not from Jesus. Jerry was the kind of guy you loved to be around. He was always in a good mood, always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I would be twins." Jerry was a natural leader because of his attitude. Jerry would say, "Each morning I wake up and say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." "Not that easy, you say?" "Yes, it is," Jerry said. "Life is all about choices. It's your choice how you live life." One day, Jerry left the back door open at his restaurant that he owned and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers who panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly. He explained, "As I lay on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live. Jerry continued, the paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, he's a dead man. I knew I needed to do something and take action. There was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me, said Jerry. He asked me if I was allergic to anything. Yes, I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, bullets! Over the laughter, I told them, I am choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead. And Jerry lived, thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also due to his amazing attitude. Every day, we have a choice to live fully. Now, there are illnesses that exist, and not all of us are natural optimists. But for most of us, life is a choice to be made. So my choice today was to talk about the good news, believe it or not. The message that Paul received from Christ himself and passed along to the people of Corinth. This is the good news for us today. Christ is alive. We celebrated Easter not long ago. Jesus has been resurrected from death and is alive today. Isn't that exciting? It was for Paul. You can hear it in his writing. But what about the Corinthians? You see, the Corinthians apparently were distracted by lesser things. Apparently, they were not thinking much about Jesus' resurrection. In fact, they were not thinking well together at all. Those people of First Church Corinth were gifted people, spiritually gifted. They had claimed bragging rights over their own spiritual gifts. And unfortunately, that led to many divisions within that church at Corinth. And Paul was deeply disturbed by this. Apparently, one gifted group was put off by the notion of a physical resurrection, which Jesus and Paul talked about. Spiritual resurrection, they could buy into. So picture Paul taking their chin in the palm of his hand. He lifts their eyes to the cross, and then he repeats that proclamation through which they first believed. Christ died for your sins, so do not fear. Paul tells them, Christ was raised a fleshy resurrection for us fleshy ones. He called me to go and tell. Christ called Paul to go and tell. And Paul chose to go and to tell. Now remember that Paul was originally called Saul. We saw reference to that in the scripture. He was a Pharisee, an up-and-comer in the Jewish community. He had power and prestige, and he maintained it by clearly identifying his enemies and destroying them. Some things don't change in our world. Paul was very powerful and very effective at destroying his enemies, which included the apostles of Jesus and the early Christians. Paul presided over the stoning of Stephen and was on his way to Damascus to arrest and persecute the Christians there when Jesus met him. and took his chin in his hand, lifted his eyes to the cross, and said, I died for your sins. Do not be afraid. And guess what? Paul chose to look at life differently after meeting the resurrected Jesus. You see, in Christ's death and resurrection, God has laid claim to God's own creatures, all of them, including us. God has chosen to love us unlovely and sometimes unlovable people, proclaiming them priceless. That was last week. In our scripture, Paul has intertwined his own story and the resurrection story, the good news. He has chosen the life that Jesus portrayed in his resurrection. And Paul has chosen that resurrection life for himself. Paul is now part of the resurrection story. So a poll question to just talk about. How many can remember the time before you chose to follow Jesus? Do you remember before you chose to follow Jesus? Where does your life intertwine with the resurrection story? How were you living in sin and fear? Were you seeking power and prestige, or just money, possessions, personal comfort and ease? Who first lifted your chin in hand and pointed out the cross and the gift of life that Jesus died to give to you? Was it your parents? A pastor or youth pastor? A Sunday school teacher? A friend? Were you raised in a Christian home as I was? What did you do to earn the gift of life? You've all worked hard for what you have: home, family, career, schooling. But who gave you the gifts and talents to accomplish what you've accomplished in life? What have you done that God did not already prepare you for and enable you to succeed with? You see, unfortunately, we, like those Corinthians, still get caught up in our own possessions, our own gifts, spiritual or otherwise, our own accomplishments, our own status. It becomes all about us, not God. We divide ourselves up in this world between us and them, the ins and the outs, the rights and the wrongs. But when we focus on what we have done and what we have, what we don't have, or what they don't have, or what they have not accomplished, then we've lost sight of what's important. We've lost sight of the cross. We've lost sight of the resurrection and the resurrection life that God has given us to live right now. We can choose to follow the choices of the world for money, fame, power, partisanship, self-gratification, instant gratification, greed, fear. These are the choices that put Jesus on the cross and are still dividing our nation, our families, even churches. Too often they have been our choices, haven't they? Those were the choices of the Hebrew people. Those were the choices of Saul before he became Paul. And now it's time for us to choose. It is God who has given us life, And that life is ours for the choosing, but we have to choose it. We have to keep our eyes focused on the cross. The empty cross, you notice. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus is alive. Jesus was resurrected from death. That is the good news. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He is risen. He is alive. And that resurrection life is now available to each of us if we would only choose to accept it. And resurrection life begins with sacrifice and service, love, in other words, a willingness to die to our old life and take up our own cross and follow Jesus. Resurrection life goes to the cross and beyond to find the love and the compassion, the joy and hope, the peace of God that is ours for the choosing, to choose today. But we have to go through the empty cross. So whatever you've chosen before, whatever you've chosen earlier this morning, you still have that critical choice right now. Will you choose Jesus right now, tomorrow, next week? Will you choose to go to the cross and beyond to follow Jesus? Will you choose life in Jesus Christ? Life in the full, as the Beatitudes called it. Life in the full. Will you choose this life today and every day? It's your choice. Our take-home question: what choice does Jesus want you to make today? Let's pray. We give you thanks, O God. We come to the close of this Easter season remembering your greatest gift of sending your own Son to die so that we can live, so we can live to the full. And we approach the celebration, which we know is already here, that your Spirit came into our world and into our lives to guide us every moment of every day, to give us strength and comfort, to help us make decisions, to give us a conscience. We celebrate that you continue to walk with us and give us life in this world today with the promise that this life that you give us isn't just for today or even just for this journey on earth, but for eternity. We thank you for your promises, O God, and above all for your love for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.